we talked about three things that we needed to look at for the new year. First was to be careful, second was to be thankful, and the third to be thoughtful. And I thought, well, for this week, I want to carry that theme on a little bit further. As a matter of fact, as we head into the new year, what should we do to have a better life? And so that's what I'm going to look at this morning. And I've got three things. The first is wake up, clean up, and dress up. Interesting subjects, aren't they?
The first one was hard.
There's four stages of life. For those that you know, you believe in Santa Claus when you're young. Then you don't believe in Santa Claus. Then as you get a little older, you become Santa Claus. And then, of course, as you get as old as I am, you look like Santa Claus. So that's the four stages of life. A lady said recently, I went to the doctor for my annual physical. The nurse asked me how much I weighed. I told her 135 pounds. Then she weighed me, and the scale said 160. She asked me how tall I was. I said 5'6". She measured me, and I was only 5'3". So she took my blood pressure and told me it was high. Of course it's high, I said. When I came in here, I was tall and slender. Now I'm short and fat. A lady said, my sister and I decided to reframe a favorite photograph of our mother and father from when they were dating, some 60 years ago. After removing the picture from the frame, I turned it over, hoping to find a date. It didn't. Instead, my mother had written 128 pounds. So how do you like growing older? When we were young, teenagers perhaps, we probably like the idea of getting older. If you're already older, you may not like the idea of getting older, any older. Why? Because most people fear what's ahead. We may not like the idea of a new year because a new year means we're getting older and we may experience more health problems. That's pretty true, isn't it? Because we never know what the new year will hold for us. Some of us think, ugh, and some others think, oh boy, a new year, a new beginning. New sounds good to most people, especially something like new possessions. A new house, new car, new wardrobe, new computer, etc. I saw a picture of a t-shirt that read, I love new stuff. Well, who doesn't? Nice, new is nice. And often better, but not always, however. Did you ever get something new that didn't turn out to be as nice as you thought it would be? Here's what one man said after buying a new car. The transmission makes a loud grinding noise while braking. The power windows sometimes sticks and won't go up. At least this keeps me from going to the car wash. The alternator gave out at 950 miles. The seams on the seats are already pulling apart after 2,000 miles. The CD player ate my favorite CD and won't eject it. And it guzzles gas. Any of you have a problem with a car like that? A new? That man is not a happy camper with his new car. New is not always nice. At least we're starting a new year and maybe, just maybe, some things will be better and get better for us. It depends on our attitude and our altitude. Our spiritual altitude, that is. The important thing about a new year is to think about what we're going to do that will make us better people in the eyes of God. It's only in our relationship to God that everything can get better. When things go wrong, He's the only one that can make things right or better. Going into the new year, what should we do to have a better life? As I said earlier, we need to wake up, clean up, and dress up. Heading into the new year, let's talk about wake up. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 13, beginning with verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than we first believed. A Sunday school teacher asked the children just before she dismissed them to go to church, and why is it necessary to be quiet in church? Little Johnny replied, because people are sleeping. Johnny's always causing problems. A lady who was known as Winston Churchill's main rival in Parliament was giving a speech. Churchill, with his usual enthusiasm for his rival, dozed off while the lady was speaking. She stopped her speech and woke Sir Winston up by yelling, "Mr. Churchill, must you sleep while I talk?" Churchill replied, "No, madam, I do so purely by choice." Most people who are spiritually asleep do so by choice. Many people deliberately ignore the God, Christ, and the Bible, and go their merry, miserable ways. Spiritual apathy abounds in our day and time. Many people are spiritually asleep and don't care to be woke up. They have the attitude of, "I don't know and I don't care," or else, "I don't believe and I won't do it." A teacher gave a subject for a composition class. The subject given was what, the word what. And for an hour, the whole class expounded and defined this word and related concepts on paper. One smart aleck boy submitted his paper in just 1 minute though, and left the class. On his sheet, he had written, "So what?" That's the kind of attitude that many people have today toward God, Christ, and all things holy. We understand, however, that Paul was writing to Christians saying, it's time to wake up. We expect people in Hollywood and the world to be spiritually asleep, but not those who are in Christ. What about us? Are we asleep spiritually in any way? It is highly possible, you know. Old preacher Vance Havner used to say, the same church members who yell like Comanche Indians on a ball game on Saturday sit like wooden Indians in a church on Sunday. Could our lack of enthusiasm be the things that God being indicated something is wrong with us? Recently, a preacher friend of mine on Facebook, and many of you may know him, Truman Brady, complained or perhaps confided that none of his people ever say amen to anything that is preached. That goes for his sermons and any revival sermons that are preached in his church. Our lack of enthusiasm for the Word of God or the things of God could be an indication that we are somewhat sleepy and need to be woke up. There are other things, however. Truman also told us, those of us in the group, that he had a hard time getting people in his church to volunteer to serve in various ways. Nursery, calling, teaching, classes, etc. There are many things that we can do, or perhaps fail to do, that indicate we may be somewhat asleep spiritually. And how do we wake sleeping people? Well, we could have one of those rattlesnake handling services. Of course, one of you guys have to do it. I'm not going to. I bet that would wake some people up. Otherwise, we just keep on serving, loving, preaching, teaching, praying, and hopefully someone will catch on fire. The second thing we want to look at this morning is the cleanup. Romans 13:12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. So who likes to stay dirty? Some people in our world do. Haven't you noticed? Who is Adam Lambert? He's a 27-year-old man from San Diego, California, who got second place, I believe it was last year, in American Idol contest. And he's openly gay. He's gay and doesn't mind if all the world knows it. Adam Lambert doesn't apologize for much of anything, but he should. Adam Lambert admits he got carried away with his sexually charged American Music Awards performance, but he offers no apology. ABC canceled him because he got so carried away. The rocker from American Idol said on the early show that his performance would not have caused as much controversy if he weren't openly gay. He also said that there were other adult moments on the show that caused no outrage. He said, "I admit I did get carried away, but I don't see anything wrong with it. I do see how people got offended, and that was not my intention. My intention was to interpret the lyrics of my song and have a good time with it." Now, I'm not against Adam Lambert, but I am against his actions and what he stands for. And personally, I think he's wrong and needs to clean up his act. But he probably won't, because he's been deceived and duped by the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's like so many in our world. Adam Lambert needs to clean up his life, but that won't happen unless he comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and surrenders to his lordship. A man was arrested after police say he left his 5-year-old son in a tractor trailer while he ducked into an Indianapolis strip club to drink. The 39-year-old was arrested at 1:15 a.m. on child neglect and public intoxication charges after calling the police to report his truck stolen and his child missing. Police say the man was too drunk to remember where he had parked the truck. And that's a true story, by the way. They found the boy inside watching cartoons on the television inside the cab. The keys were in the ignition and the doors were unlocked. Police say the suspect put his son in jeopardy by leaving him exposed in a high-crime area. The man was taken to Marion County Jail, where his wife picked both him and the child up. Dumb father. He needs to get his act together. He needs to repent. He needs to clean up his life. Romans 13:12, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Most of us are probably not as bad as Paul talked about in this text, but we all struggle with our own sins, sins of the flesh, sins of disposition, and it's time to clean up. So how can we do it? We take whatever sin that it is dragging us down to the Lord and ask for mercy and grace. We ask for mercy for our sins and ask for His grace to get over them. God created us. He can recreate us, if we let Him, by walking with Him daily. It's when the Lord gets out of sight that He is also out of mind, and that's when we get into trouble. We need to keep Him in sight and in mind every hour of every day. I think there's a song like it. Number three, as we head into the new year, we need to dress up. Romans 13:14. Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So we need to wake up, clean up, and dress up. But how are we going to dress up? Obviously, we are either a dress up or a dress down society, with emphasis on the outward appearance. We all prefer to look decent, whether we are dressed up or down. Casual is in. It's the in thing today. But casual is not what God wants from us on the inside. We all know that we have an outer person and an inner person. And while the outer person may be clean and dressed up, what about the inner person? What about the real you? Remember the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in Robert Louis Stevenson's and first published in 1886 novel? It's about a London lawyer who investigates strange occurrences between his old friend, Dr. Henry Jekyll, and Mr. Hyde. The dual title character is a doctor who has covered up a secret life full of cruel deeds. He feels as if he is constantly battling within himself between what is good and what is evil, and is pushing away people dear to him. Does that not sound like some of us today? Or many people we know? This sounds just like us. We all battle with the darkness that lies within us. We all have a dark side. In the Bible, it's called the old man of sin. Sin still lurks within us and raises its ugly head occasionally and seems to take control occasionally. Romans 7:15 says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, I do. There it is. It's what Paul struggled with, and it's what we struggle with. We all struggle with the darkness of sin within us, but perhaps in different areas and arenas. Like another famous athlete, British tennis star Andy Murray has been having relationship problems of late. Unlike Tiger Woods, Murray hasn't been spending too much time with other women. He, however, has been spending too much time on his PlayStation. Murray, the number 4 ranked player in the world, was dumped by his longtime girlfriend Kim Sears, due in part to the fact that he spent up to 7 hours a day playing video games. Aha, there it is. Of course, most people won't consider his PlayStation addiction being anything really bad, but it is. Why? Because it's a waste of time and it takes his attention away from people. In this case, his girlfriend. What Andy Murray does with PlayStation, we do with other things, and it has become a sin to us. If nothing else, it's idolatry, it's idol worship. Instead of focusing on God who created good things, it's focusing on the gift. And that's idolatry, or spiritual adultery. We're all guilty, and we need to clean up our act. And we need to dress up. We need to dress up with Christ. Romans 13:14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So how do we clothe ourselves with the character of Christ? It won't happen overnight. It takes time, takes effort, energy, and devotion. These days, Becky Griggs starts her morning well before the sun comes up, in time to meet her clients at the gym at 5:30. It's a big change from 6 years ago when she weighed 352 pounds. And as she calls it, engaged in a slow form of suicide. Becky Griggs is a 43-year-old wife and mother who decided enough was enough. She knew she was killing herself with her weight and eating habits. She took the bull by the horn and went to work. She eats right, emphasizing protein and what God made, and exercises faithfully regularly. Now she weighs around 150 pounds and is healthier than she has ever been. She did it in only 2 years, which is rather amazing. She changed her lifestyle. What she did physically is what we need to do spiritually. Many of us have poor spiritual habits. We don't go to church as much as we should. We don't read God's Word as much as we should, which is a life-changing thing. We don't pray as much as we should. We don't serve as much as we should. We don't focus on walking with the Lord daily like we should. And these are the tools by which we change and get dressed with the character of Christ. And for the new year, we all need to make some changes in our daily living in order to daily walk with Christ and allow Him to change us. New and better. We don't need new and better material things. We all need to be new and better person. And that will only happen in Christ. Nature forms us. Education informs us. Sin deforms us. But only Christ transforms us. Choose Christ to become the better you in the new year. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to gather here, to gather here as family and friends and fellows in Christ. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share your word. We thank you for those who have listened to your word. And we just pray that as we go through this new year that we might take your word to heart, that we might clean up our acts, and that we might dress up for you. Father, as we go our many different ways this morning, we pray that you'll be with us, that you'll guide us, that you'll direct us. Forgive us when we've fallen short, for we have fallen short many times. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.